Good morning. Today I'm going to be talking on living under the shadow of the cross, or just living under the cross, in fact. But before we start, I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you for the immense salvation that you have achieved for us by sending your Son to die on the cross. Lord, this is beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our wildest dreams that you should send your precious, your only Son to die for us. And what a glorious salvation you have accomplished for us. Lord, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, as it says in Hebrews? Now, Father, we just ask that this morning you would bring the light of your Holy Spirit to shine into our hearts, to shine upon the pages of your word, to speak to each of us individually, to receive the right mix, Lord, of challenge and truth and encouragement that all of us need so that we can continue to live under the cross, Lord, not weighed down, Father, but released, liberated, and restored into the original destiny that you have for each one of us. So we pray your blessing on this word this morning. Amen. Now, a slight moment for me. I'm just going to wave this out. I've got an iPad, and my plan is now going to be a bit more green, but eco-friendly, to talk from an iPad rather than to be printing out the notes of my talk each time. So forgive me if occasionally I'm looking down or flicking through, but I'm going to be delivering the talk as I feel God's called me to do it. So I'm going to be reordering it slightly. I'm going to start with a quote from Girolamo Savonarola. Girolamo Savonarola, who was a martyr. And I associate this quotation with a couple of things, with my brother-in-law Matt, and with an event he used to run for young people called Substance for the Soul. And I went up to Lichfield to a gathering, a day gathering there with some young people, and I just came into it. At the time I was young, I counted as a young person, and at one point I recall I actually went and was playing the keyboard while we were worshipping. But they put this quote up on the overhead. And the other thing I associate the quote with is the amazing time when I was working with London City Mission with 30 Christians, living with 30 Christians in a hostel, and we went together to Wembley Arena. I don't know how many of you were there, but for the Noel Richards Wembley Arena Day, Delirious played dressed in England football shirts. You can find the videos of it somewhere on YouTube if you were interested. It's quite inspiring. And I remember going home from that. It was a long time in Wembley Arena, thousands of Christians. And we went back on the tube, and the tube was stuffed full of Christians. There were a few unfortunate, or perhaps more fortunate, people who weren't Christians in the tube. But we were all singing Delirious songs and Christian songs. And one guy was rapping out and singing out the Jesus Freak song from DC Talk, which is, I have to say, a song that has been very powerful for me over the years. They reclaimed that label Jesus Freak, which has been a term of abuse, and they made it something that young people, and even older young people, young at heart, are proud to stand up and say, I'm a Jesus freak. And it was because of that song that they wrote. But this guy, Savonarola, said, my Lord was pleased to die for my sins. Why should I not be glad to give up my poor life out of love for him? And of course, the first meaning of take up your cross and follow me is that we may be required to give the ultimate sacrifice. And that's one of the meanings. And I have to say, I've really enjoyed and found very challenging this series on the cross. I found it probably the most challenging series that I've taught on so far. I thought I knew what the cross meant. I've been a Christian since I was in short trousers, and yet yet there is so much depth, so much mystery attached to the cross. And it's more central to the New Testament than I ever realised when you start to look at it. A particular book I read, The Cross in the New Testament by Leon Morris. I've got a falling apart copy of it. But astonishing, when I read through, he treats the cross in every single book and looks at every single reference to the cross. And it was a real eye-opener to see how if you neglect the cross, if you try to understand Christianity without the cross, you're not going to get very far. Galatians 6:14 is the verse that John Stott used in his book, The Cross of Christ, to head the book. And it is this: God forbid that I should boast of anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we try to boast in anything else, if we think that we should focus on the kingdom rather than the cross, or being the people of God rather than the cross, or the Holy Spirit rather than the cross, that is not what Paul taught, and it's also not what Jesus taught. Let's just remind ourselves, and it's slightly hard for me, I'm just working this through. I have got a Bible here somewhere, but it's slightly hard for me to be turning up verses because I've got the iPad in my hand. If I had a lectern here, I could manage it. What I'm going to have to turn it up because I don't think I've got it anywhere else. I don't think I've written it down. Oh, I have. I think I have. Mark 8:34. He had called the people to himself with his disciples also. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. This is Jesus speaking. So we know that it's not just Paul who tells us that the cross is how we are to live, but it's also Jesus. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses it for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So the first meaning of take up the cross and follow me is that literal one. What that meant in Jesus' day was you need to be crucified. And this verse, take up the cross and follow me, is in three of the Gospels, so it's important. And it comes after Jesus' prediction that he is going to die on the cross. So Jesus was saying, you need to follow me, you need to die like me. And we're very grateful to Paul, of course, in his letters that he works out and explores more about what that means. And I don't want to make today's talk too complex, but it's heavy in its subject matter. I'm aware of that. And so I'm just prayerful that the Holy Spirit will breathe over you, breathe over what I'm saying, and minister life to you, even through the death on the cross. We have to go through that death. And we've all done it if we've trusted in Jesus. And if we haven't trusted in Jesus, then look to the cross today, because that's where salvation is. It's so important that we do not neglect the cross. When we're talking about the good news to our friends and neighbours, it might not be the first thing that we tell them, but it's got to be in there. You know, as I said earlier this week in the little video, Jesus came full of grace and truth. He came with grace first. He came with love. God so loved the world, is that verse in John 3:16. But the cross has to be central. And if we do not understand what it means for Jesus dying on the cross, if we do not understand the weight and the importance of it, then how can we be certain of our salvation? Because our salvation certainly is not going to be found in our good works. And John Stott quotes this. He says that, look, the danger is with the best will in the world, with the best intentions, if we skate around the cross, if we skirt around it, if we fluff it up, if we diminish it or just gloss over the cross, then we will be preaching effectively salvation by works or salvation by self-value. We'll fall into the trap of modern psychology and argue that the answer is within you. And the answer is only within us if Christ is within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ is only in you if you have looked to the cross and are trusting him for your salvation. One of the most powerful prayers that I pray on a semi-regular basis is the one that goes, what have I done for Christ? What ought I do for Christ? What have I done for Christ in the past? What am I doing for Christ now? And what ought I do for Christ? You can change that to Jesus if you prefer, or to my Lord. It doesn't matter. It's the gist of it is, what have I done in the past for you, Lord? What am I doing now for you? And what ought I do? What are you calling me to do for you? And I think that this is where the cross becomes the most challenging for those of us who have maybe been following Jesus for many years. We understand and we accept, and in fact it's a glory to us and it's a joy to us to delve into the cross and to adore the cross and to just worship Jesus and remind ourselves of what he did for us on the cross. But it's actually that daily living that we find harder to handle, and we feel that we maybe aren't, and we know that we aren't doing what we ought to be doing. As that quote from Savonarola, why should I not give my poor life up? He gave his life up for me. So I want to just look at, and this is it really, and I'm going to pause in a moment just to have an end, but I want us to look at in a moment a couple of verses in Galatians to explore a little bit what it means then to be living under the cross. And I know the phrase sounds a little bit negative, like living under your circumstances, but actually it's not. It's living under what Jesus has done for us, living in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We have to experience the cross in order to experience the resurrection life, and part of living under the cross is living in that resurrection life. But what I want to say just before we move into Galatians is that if any of you want this, I can't possibly cover living under the cross in all its implications in one talk. It could be a series of talks quite easily. And in John Stott's book, Cross of Christ, it's a series of chapters. Just like Martin put up with the heart of the cross, he put up several sections. And I cannot really recommend John Stott's book, The Cross of Christ, highly enough. To those of you, it's a long book and it's not easy to read, but it's not difficult to read, actually. It's quite clear. And if you've got a bit of determination and if you've got a deep desire to understand what Jesus did for you more fully, which is surely the most important thing in all the world, then I highly recommend John Stott's The Cross of Christ. It actually comes in its more recent editions with a study guide at the back. And the other resources I would recommend, Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, which is a very useful book to have on your bookshelf and covers salvation in a few chapters. And I've been using that a little bit with this series, particularly with the Born Again talk last time. And also just take the book of Romans and read through it prayerfully, asking God to show you what it means. John Piper has done a superb series, a teaching series on the book of Romans. Martin Lloyd-Jones has written, did a series of sermons which you can listen to online on the book of Romans, or you can get the books of those. Or you can simply read it, do a Bible reading plan on YouVersion with Romans. And the other resource that I'd recommend is Roger Price's series on salvation, his talks on salvation, and also his series on judgment, series 2, which I think there's a lot of information in there and teaching and understanding about the cross, both in the Gospels, but also in the outworking of it. And I'd particularly recommend, bearing in mind a couple of the things I'm touching on today, BBS 23 of Roger's Palaces or Mud Huts, which is a standout talk, and you can get it on Bible Voice on the internet. Ralph will supply it for you, or you can read the chapter in the book Judgments, which again is available through Ralph, or is is available. You might have it on your bookshelf, so go back to it. Some very, very powerful stuff in that Judgments book.